I believe fear is normal.
Mm.
Fear is what keeps us alive.
Yes.
If we weren't afraid, we would just cross the street
yeah.
without looking left and right.
Yeah.
So fear is. I need you to come somewhere with me. We went to this house, this flat, actually, in Norwood, and we knocked the door. This lady answered. We went in, and her husband was in there. He was cheating on her.
Oh, wow.
And so, again, I knew I had something. And so from that point, I went.
They would either give you or they would either personally give you or write down a herbal remedy for you to make. Also, Barefoot Doctors also
do videos of for self-esteem, because that was my
thing.
The thing that I needed to work most on, you know, having self-belief.
I wouldn't call it exactly in that description. The way I would probably describe it is the fact that I know that when I soak them for 24 hours, basically. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm having my breakfast.
Mm.
They're four almonds, and I peel them individually.
So we get access to it through certain techniques. And certain people become great composers. Other people become great definers, astrologers.
Great news is we are complex beings.
Yes,
we come here with a whole set of past lives, a whole set.
Hello, soul travelers, wherever you might be, around the globe, or the infinite ether. Welcome, and thank you for joining me and my many guests here at the Spiritual Caf. Our mission is to steady the ship for those of you who are uncertain, afraid, and are curious even about spirituality, its purpose, and what it has to do with you. By inviting in to the Spiritual Caf guests who are walking their path, being agents of spiritual change, sharing their gifts, knowledge, and expertise, this podcast is the perfect platform to engage, open up, and listen as we start healing humanity one conversation at a time. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spiritual Caf. My name is EJ Soul Guide, and I have another amazing, fantastic, effervescent, I think that's a word, guest on my show. Her name is Sandra Menendez.
Mendez.
You see, this is what happened when you're in the UK. Everything's either Menendez and never Mendez.
It's okay.
Sandra is a psychic medium. She's also an investigator. I want to find out more about that. And a UFO research and does paranormal studies or investigation. We're going to find out more about that as well. So, Sandra, welcome to the Spiritual Caf.
Thank you, EJ. Thank you so much for meeting me and introducing us to the people who are listening to us. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. I know we've never met before. This is kind of I think we met over LinkedIn, and I noticed that you were responding to some of the things that I was putting out there. And I thought, you know, it would be really nice to kind of connect and find out a bit more about yourself. And I guess so I want to kick off with what's your story in regards to discovering your gifts as a psychic and as a medium? How did that happen for you? What was
Thank
that about?
Thank you. Never thought I'd really get an answer to that, but I think I just want to say that, you know what, I grew up like this, you know, and I just turned 64, so that kind of gives you a picture of how long I've been like this. And I remember my first experience. I was five, but it was my mother had eight kids. She was a single mom.
Okay.
So we didn't really get a lot of individual attention, which allowed each one of us to be who we are and to become who we were. And so that was my first experience of intuition. And I have to say I trusted it because of this part of the story. I met my son. My husband and I have one child. He's this child. And I met him when I was 5 years old, and he and I just believed it. You know, I really believed it. He came into my life when I was very afraid to cross a very big street. I eventually got hit by a car, but when he came to me that time, he just told me who he was and identified himself. He, you know, the way he looked and everything, told me who he was. And he was stayed with me probably every time I had to cross that street, you know. So that was kind of a memory now that people ask, well, when did I realize this? And then later in time, the medium came in because I started hearing non-physical being voices, my relatives, and just trusted it. I never doubted it. And I grew up Catholic. So, and I'm Latina. So Latinas are, Latino families are very, religious. They're spiritual, they're religious. Superstitious, you know, my mother was very superstitious, and there, so I don't know, for me, it was just really self-realization. And then when I was 12, obviously by that time, because I started doing readings when I was 12, I developed a sense of confidence. Okay. And it was, and up until that point, I also want to throw in that I went through a lot. I mean, I had terrible things happen to me for a very, very, very long time, consistently. But the part that I love about that story is that I had this, this is me right now still, is they could do all that, whatever it is that they did. I used to call them big people, because, you know, if you're a child, you know, these big people. But they could never change my loving heart. Ever.
No.
And they never did.
See, that's the
that's what I love about cool. so much happens. So much, not just one, not just two things, like so much. But as a little girl, I used to do that. You will never, and I never allowed it. And that's who I am, you know? And the paranormal stuff just kind of, I don't know, maybe I heard something. I'm sure you've never heard this before, using my intuition. But when you are traumatized, it makes your kundalini energy rise. So many of us are this way because of the traumas that have occurred in our life. Believe it or not, that to me was life-changing for me. I never let it change my loving heart, so I still attracted loving people. I've lived this life, and the biggest question I'm asked is, how do you meet these people? Because I actually have a lot of friends, right? How do you meet those kinds of people? How do you meet them? And I always say, I always do. Then when I became mindful, I wanted to attract what you said. And you, that's why I said, are you channeling me? I wanted to meet extraordinary people, magnificent people that were in their heart, that care the way I do. Because even as a kid, I mean, and I was forbidden to bring anybody home. Remember, she had a single mom, 8 kids. She didn't need any more people in the house. So everything I did was away from home. When my mom found out about it, she wasn't too happy about it, because that's a whole other story. But it made me feel good.
But is it an important story? Is it quintessential to your development in this area of your life? Because sometimes in order for us to discover,
maybe the practice, you know, because it did make me like I trusted myself, and I knew how to make myself feel good.
And I
would just go out, and I knew it would happen. And every time it happened, it felt so good. And it was both of us, not just me. It was both of us. And it made me trust that what I was doing was good, even though for probably more than I can remember, this was forbidden. You don't do that. You scare people. You don't say these things, you know, whatever. But I always had these little thoughts. Remember, I grew up Catholic. You know what? If this is the devil, then I'm beeping the devil, because this, and I'd look at them, and I was always different than them. You know, I'm nonviolent, and I was surrounded with violence and changed schools because of violence.
And were these violent Catholics?
those were most, and I really don't want to sound like I'm against them at all. It was just, they were
raised a Catholic.
They were my models, you know, because we went to church and we went to Sunday school, and they'd be all hallelujah in there. And then they'd come out and smack their kid.
Yeah.
So I just, as a child, didn't understand. And then one of my favorite stories is what most people know this about me. I was the only kid. I know you didn't raise your hand. Right? You never raised your hand in church. Jay, do you ever raise your hand in church?
No, just when they're praising.
Guess what? I was the only one in my whole life that ever even heard. I raised my hand. Yes. And then my mom would have, I sit at the end, at the end of the, because she had eight kids. I sit at the end so she couldn't pinch me. But I was always like, put your hand down. Even the people that, passed the basket, you don't do the, put your hand up. So no one liked me. But I wanted to raise my hand because I didn't understand what he was saying. It made no sense to me. And then after, when he's, thanking everybody, for the money, I would ask him, he would come up to me all the time because, you little brat, you just feel the vibe. You're supposed to be loving. You're supposed to be a priest or whatever they were. But he really did not like me.
Yeah.
And I was okay with it. I just said, well, you're not there. I didn't understand what you were saying. And why can't you ask questions? And why you just don't do that? I, at an early age, knew this is just not for me. But I was forced. I was forced to do that.
Yes.
I was 26 when I decided to make my own decision. And that was a nightmare as far as family goes. And I became a Buddhist.
Oh, wow.
I really appreciated that practice because they actually thought a lot more like myself. And I'm so cute. I became like a Buddhist fanatic, it was very known for picking up people off the streets and taking them into homes, but it's because I lived in my heart.
Yes.
I really believe that this enlightening experience that is something you experience, not something you're told to do or told to believe, you actually experience enlightenment. That was for me. So I said, okay, I'm going to do. But got kicked out and disowned and unloved because I made a decision that was against what my family would have preferred for me. But I still walk alone.
Makes sense. This makes sense from the point of view that sometimes when we're developing or even discovering our gifts, there has to be a tremendous resistance from somewhere.
Yeah.
That when we haven't yet honed it, and we're terrified because always say that if in order for me to know that there's something for me to do, it has to equally excite me as it does terrify me.
Mm-hmm.
And once it does those two things in equal measure, then I know I'm onto something. Which leads me on to my next question, because what sort of investigator are you? How did you know? What was the thing that happened that made you decide that in being an investigator within this field was for you?
A phone call.
Oh, wow.
A phone call from a friend. And I guess probably everything I am is really from a phone call and encouragement from the people giving me the call that knew I could do it. And do that, are you crazy? I don't know how to do that. Then they would talk me into it, and it still is. That's why I don't do that anymore. I'm just making that clear. I don't do that anymore, but I did it for 19 years. I taught it as well, because I think that was needed. Numbers mattered to me, but if the people around the world saw the same thing, and then I'd go to the police. Does this mean something? I don't even know these people. So I thought numbers mattered, but really it was just a phone call that said, can you help? Somebody was murdered in their community.
Yes.
And there was a reward, which I had done work like this without ever getting paid. And it really wasn't the reward, to be honest with you. It was more, my heart, mother. I'm a mother myself, and imagine what that felt like. And all that, those works were really on my husband and our own dime. So it really says a lot about me, the kind of person that I am. Some of them took many, many years. Two are pending, but it's work that is very, very emotional. It's very time consuming.
Yes.
It's not, it's only rewarding because you get to see who you are. You get to learn that I'm such a good, caring person. And I stayed low key because I had a lot of mentors, some well-known people in LA, that taught me that, how brutal it could be. But I have my own way of thinking. I think as long as I'm doing it because of love, I'm going to be okay. And I did very, very well. I'm very successful. I'm very confident. I helped other women around the world that were also just psychic, you know, and then helped them and then turned them into mediums and then turned them into investigations. So, and then I went out on the field with them, and really we all learned together that this is, it's just the same, you know, it's the same human ability. It's intuition, you know, because a lot of women thought, I was one of them that didn't think I could do the investigations, but really if you're a medium, then it should be a piece of cake. If you're intuitive, a piece of cake, it's just how it was looked at.
See, what's quite interesting here is the fact that I think there's two types of, well, two that I recognize. I'm sure there are a thousand different variations of the theme, but the two main themes for me is the person who works from divinity and the person who works from ego. And you tend to find that those who work from divinity are those who will always work from their heart space and recognize, and I've said this before, and I always say this in my work, that I am the messenger and not the message.
Yeah, I thought that this morning too. Must have read you.
Sorry?
I said, I thought that this morning. I must have read you.
Well, there you go.
Just went into my head today when I was just getting ready.
Yeah, absolutely. And I say this because I think it's really important for people who are listening to us and listening to this podcast and any of the other podcasts I'm doing, that it's very, very important to be clear on which one you are. Because if you're working for ego, you're usually the type of person who would be saying a lot of things like, you know, I'm telling you, you know, or, you know, I am great at what I do, or I'm a great psychic. I'm a great medium. Now, this may actually be true. However, you know, these are not necessarily the titles you will give to yourself. It's normally what somebody would say to you. You know, I've come across some amazing readers and some amazing mediums, and I would say that to them, and they're very humble about how they receive that recognition, because they're coming from a space of divinity and divine timing, and the fact that whatever messages and communication that they're having is part of the process of them being able to connect to another individual and share with them what that person needed at that time. So, you know, it's really nice to hear that a lot of what you have done and the resistance, because it's almost like you are standing in a desert and there's a desert wind blowing against you, but it can't topple you because you're very sure about who you are, even in your own insecurities.
I claim those because, you know, I'm human, you know. I mean, this is just because I can do this. Trust me, but you still develop. You develop. I am unique in that sense, you know, to myself, because I look back and all it was just confidence and trust, because I trusted that what I was hearing was real. But I do want to mention that the investigation work, for the first time in my life, I question my ability. I've been a reader my whole life, you know, and I've done incredible things with my skills. And I also have other people do them too, because there's nothing more incredible than having witnesses and encouraging someone. That's what me and my friends do. We go out in the environment and we go, oh, we're going to do this. And we're just one mind. And then if there's strangers around us, because I just walk alone, but a lot of my friends, they have a lot of friends, and we go out and we're just like this big group, and then they listen to us, and then we make these things happen, and they think that, oh my God, you guys are so magical. And of course, we have our own little personalities here, and I'll just say to them, hey, who are you? You know, kind of a little more aggressive, and they'll be like, oh, and I'm like, you're not be great. You know, like, why are you know, you can do this. You're with us. You're the same. Like, oh, no, yes, you are. And then we make them do it. And they're like, oh, my God, it's so amazing how much fun you could have with these abilities. And that's where I'm at right now. I really am more interested in anything at all. And that is to help others learn that this is normal. Everybody can do this. This is this is what we're supposed to do if you feel it. Because I get a lot of calls, you know, do you think, or I think I'm psychic. And then I right away, I just throw you in the arena. Here, read him. And not one time ever did anybody say no.
Yeah.
Everybody just did it. And guess what? They were accurate.
Yes.
So that's my personality, you know.
Yes, like, yes, yes.
As a teacher. It's
now, normal. This is interesting because here's a bit of a curveball. If you weren't a psychic or a medium or an investigator doing paranormal, what do you think you would have done in life?
Well, I thought I wanted to be a dancer, which I was a dancer. Everything I say I thought, I was, but it didn't work. You know what I mean? Without those labels and being who I am, I can't do the hypothetical. I can't. I think it because what I am.
I sense you would have been a psychologist. So much.
I don't know. That's such a tough one. I mean, just playing around, maybe. I think I would have been a good lawyer, a criminal lawyer.
Oh, wow.
Because I have, I'm telling you, I have stretched the bar on this ability. I've been hired to go to court with people. But that was because they defer their power. And then I have this little attitude. Oh, when with me, that isn't going to happen. With me, we're going to be strong. You know, we're going to do whatever it takes to, you know, to create this first degree. And I'm just a good pillar. You know, I made it happen. But it really is all knowing about vibration and love.
You mentioned something about numbers.
EJ, that's just such a long, you know, did you take a look at the NINE website?
I didn't get an opportunity. No.
Maybe you should look at it first because and see what questions you want. But for right now, that is such a long story. I don't know how if I could, but where I play with it now, you know, like at present time, Terry and I were talking about this yesterday, that the people we meet, he's a little more, you know, like he has a healthier point of view about this, what I'm going to say, this part of what I'm going to say. But he said that he just always knows when he meets somebody because he's a time traveler. He usually dreams about the people before he meets them. Sometimes it takes a while, but then he remembers the dream. And I'm not a dreamer, so I've not had any experience like that. You know, maybe a few times deja vu, but I have my own opinion about what that is. I think I could maybe start off that story with, well, I've always loved math, but I really mentally, because of what happened to me as a child, was a zombie in school. Like I ordered my records when I was 27 years old because I was just so curious about myself. And I was just a failing student. So failing just, you know, and I didn't graduate, I didn't get my diploma because I didn't have the money to pay for a stone to put in my jewelry, which at senior year you could do an elective. I was really disappointed because I really tried at the very end because I was older. But it didn't happen and I don't regret that because some people just aren't meant for school, you know, and some people are. So to both of those types, you know, I love and honor you and I'm also talking to myself. So in 1988, I had a car accident. Now that was more of a prediction, you know, because when I was developing, I'm trying to think maybe I was 21. I think when I was 21, I started having this feeling that I was going to die when I was 25.
Oh, wow.
And remember, I've already trusted my intuition. I am very in touch with myself. So in touch with myself, AJ, that I was the type of girl that, and I'm vain, you know, now that I'm older, I'm like more laid back. But, you know, back in the day, I was super vain and I wanted to wear white on this particular day. And that would be a day that I would be on my menstruation. I'd be like, oh, no. You're going to come and you're going to happen. And you're going to, you know, either come before or you're going to come after that date. That's how in tune I was with my body. And I taught along the way, you know, you could do that. I'm like, yeah, it's just intention, you know. And sure enough, I would be successful. But I didn't doubt myself. I didn't really doubt myself until the investigations, because that's when I told my husband that maybe I need to see if what's in my head is real. I've never had to do that. But anyway, so So the prediction of being 25 and having this accident and dying, you know, now here I'm at my 25th birthday party. Everybody did this on purpose because I was really trying to hurry at the very end, probably the 24th year of my life, I was trying to hurry and do all these really cool things and whatever. And they're having this party for me and saying, you're alive, you're healthy, it's just not going to happen. And then I can't remember now, but it was either maybe 2 weeks before. Yeah. And then it happens. And when it was happening, it was all slow motion. Wow. And I said, this is it. This is it. And I was wrong. You know, it wasn't what I thought. But it was so incredible, AJ, because this red truck came out of nowhere. And that's a big part of my number 9 is R-E-D equals 9. So I always remember that red 9 truck that was a part of my intuition that thought I was going to die. And the whole thing, I won't tell you that story right now, but the whole thing of the accident, the police, the hospital, the nurse who helped me, everybody was somebody I knew. Oh. It was unbelievable. I was in the hospital for 8 days. And then I remembered coming out of the hospital because of the conk on my head. But when I came out of the hospital, something amazing happened. I don't know how I got home. It's still like a blank in my mind.
Yes.
And I just started seeing everything that I looked at. Every single thing, a tree, a car, because you know, when you're freaking out, you're like, you know, you're just twitching your head all over the place. And everything turned into like digital numbers and then a single digit, like, you know, a car, a tree, a animal. And I was like, oh my God, what the heck? And I don't even know how I got home. I don't know how I got home. But yeah. When I got home, I said, oh hell, don't tell anybody this. You're already crazy, you know, because yes. I was still living at my mom's. And I think that's somewhere in my mind, it went away and it, I healed that part. But then later in life, someone told me I should learn numerology. Mm. So I went to get a book of numerology and my intuition said, you know this. A lot of people have these experiences. They read something like, oh, I know this. So because I knew it, I did, and also very conscious, I feel like you and I are this way. I didn't want to be taught.
Yes.
Because I like to be. You know, but since I thought that I knew it, I didn't want to learn, you know, that I'm not into astrology. I don't want to be taught. I want to be self-realized. And I'm so far so good in this life that I have created for myself has honestly been like what we talked about earlier, an extraordinary life, meeting extraordinary people. I have the most amazing life. Interesting part of it is I've never made money ever. I don't know how I've made it, you know, I don't know how I've done it, but with the help of my husband who allows me to be this way, I'm so fortunate.
Gives you the space to be this way. Yeah, I mean, you know, the interesting, because you said the number nine is the number of completion.
Yes.
And what's really interesting, there was a death, but it was a death of a personality to allow a new one to emerge.
Yes.
So where, and because you were in the old personality, it looked at this as a literal thing.
Yeah.
Now that you transcended into this amazing being that can now see numbers everywhere.
Oh yeah. Everything is. Oh yeah. It's almost like X-ray vision in a way, what I mean? And it started with, I had already been connected with people around the world. I have what I call my study buddies, you know, and people all around the world. And we just studied. And a lot of the women that I'm friends with today that are all around the world was when I used to come on at Christmas Eve and do free readings. Mm. And they had a website back in the day called Medium. It was just called Medium, you know, mediums. And all these psychics would go on and I would see these incredible psychics, unbelievable people. And I'd be like, oh my God. And I just became friends with them. And then they thought I was great, but I was always thought they were greater. And then over years, I just said, you know what? I think people need help, because a lot of people would go on and ask for help. So I decided I was going to just, you know, dedicate all Christmas Eve, because my mom had passed and it was just my way of being with her. She died at Christmas time. And I met these women. They were, most of them were grieving at the time because they had lost a loved one. Those women are still my friends. And this woman that did the website, Debbie Box, she was a woman that lost her fiance to a car accident, and we just stayed friends. I mean, that's how I am. I pick you and I just stay with you. And I stay with you because there's a bond. And anyway, so one of the things with her being in her own country, with me in my own country, we used to compare, you know, just our life. And we had so much in common. She believed in UFOs. I believed in UFOs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we just get connected. And then we started meeting people around the world together. And, you know, from the dialogues that I have had, and I introduce people to other people and, you know, yada, yada. And then somehow this global phenomenon began to occur of people that resonate with particular numbers. And I was right up my alley because, again, I'm just a number person, you know.
Yes.
But she gave, I call her Beyond Einstein. And just so you know, look, this is how I have my coffee every day. I don't know if you could see Einstein. I have coffee with Einstein.
coffee
yeah.
Einstein.
This is lemon water. This is lemon water. Yeah, I was saying me and Einstein. Debbie's Beyond Einstein. You know?
Okay.
Anyway, so she came up with this really cool question. She said, hey, why don't we think of something that no one's ever thought of before? And I said, I can't think of anything because everything's coexisting. So it wouldn't be anything in my mind. I just didn't think I could do it. But I took the challenge because we're just crazy ladies and we've done amazing things. And why not? Let me see. And then she came back. Oh, so at that time, we were meeting people about the nine. Nine is a global phenomenon. You just have to know how to understand it and how to look for it. But like you said, you have a meaning, and that's a really good meaning, a number of completions. But it turned, oh my God, it's just such a long story, but it's a big part of my passion and my work now on, you know, is this nine, because Debbie and I worked so hard on it. But really what it means to me as a seer that saw it was it just means yourself. We are beginning to see ourselves in our environment. You know, the unification, the understanding, and the accountability. That's the best part. The accountability. That's me. I did that. You know, yeah. I did that. Mm. And most people are like, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. And all then
it wasn't me.
Yeah. And with that behavior, all it means is they're still separate from their environment. There's separatism going on, and that separatism causes stress. It causes loneliness. It causes a lot of not good feelings. So somehow, oh my God, such a long, but it's an amazing story. It should be a movie, to be honest with you. There was a movie about a guy seeing a number nine, you know, 999 and all that. There's another film with nine. I had like some kind of character or something, but that's not the nine that, you know. I like to ask people this question, you know, can you see a nine? You know, can you envision a nine, EJ?
Who, me?
Yes. Can you imagine the number? Yeah. Okay. Good for you. But numbers are imaginary. Letters are imaginary. And look what we have done with them.
They will carry energy.
Yes. And their frequencies, there's all kinds of things. But this mathematics that Debbie and I did on the nine sequence is very tedious. But if you can do it, if you can read it and really let it teach you what we want you to understand about yourself, some people can't do it. Some people, oh, no, I can't. It drives me crazy. Oh, it gives me a headache or whatever. So it's okay. It's not for everybody. But if you scroll down, cheat, and scroll down, she's going to show you something that you have never seen before. Because remember the question, let's think of something that no one has ever thought of before. And she did it. She actually saw sacred geometry, and she saw the math, and she put it in it. So one of the things that I'm really, really proud of her is that she saw the flower of life. You're familiar with the flower of life?
Oh, no. Tell me some more. Tell us some more.
What? Get out. Okay. So you have to look it up. You're so silly. So look it up. Okay. So when you see it, you're going to, oh, yes. I wish I had something to show you, but I don't have anything. But anyway, so when you see it, it's just a pattern all over the world. It's fascinating information. But they just show you the pattern, you know, they show you the pattern, and they don't explain the pattern. So Debbie's just explaining what she's seeing, and she put math in it. So when you see the flower of life with her on the and the website, she put math to it. And so when you look at the math, you know, you know what a mandala does, right? It stimulates something. So I believe that she should promote more of these numbered geometrical shapes that everybody is familiar with, especially if you're metaphysical, you know, then you're into symbologies and all that kind of stuff. And
funny, the flower of life, from some people, see it as the lotus flower.
Yes. Well, and that would be a Buddhist perspective, because of the simultaneity of seeding and blooming. It's the same time, you know, and in Buddhism, it's actually the symbol used for Buddhism because of the simultaneity of cause and effect. But most people that when I practiced Buddhism was they were still separating it, cause, and then you'll get the effect. They were creating space and time.
Yes.
I didn't have the ability to see that gap.
Yes.
So I got on people's nerves. But in time, I learned my understanding of what I was seeing was correct, meaning, you know, the lotus flower. So in that mathematics that we chose vortex mathematics. If you're not familiar with vortex mathematics, it's super cool. It's amazing. And what I like to say is I chose to use the math because of the integrity of the guy, you know, Marco Rodin, who I met. I like to meet people that I resonate with. So you actually met him. And it's free energy math. So I took what he, you want me to show you his coil? I have a little, it's right behind me. Okay, let me get that for you. This right here, and it's numbered.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So this is a free energy coil.
Yes.
And he teaches you how to make it yourself.
Oh, right.
So so I love the integrity of him of not wanting to make money off of it, but share it with the world. He's probably Tesla reincarnated. And and then we learned from another guy too, these two physicists, but we chose the math. It works perfectly. Everything is perfectly numbered using this math. And I'm just trying to think of, so I took the technological information and I've made it for something inside of us so we could do it mentally. Because if it can do that, if it can create free energy, if it can do all the claims that free energy can do, I believe we can do it too, because I'm not going to separate myself from technology because we're the ones that create the technology. So I'm looking forward to this year, particularly this year, Terry, and I'll go a little more public about this mathematics and these symbols that I think if you look at them, and if you're familiar with the flower of life, and then you see the numbered flower of life, it's going to make you wake up. It's going to be like, wait a minute, what is that? Because you're paying attention to something different.
Yes.
If you can pay attention to something different, then your life changed.
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
You'll start to see the world in a whole new way. And that's what I want.
And isn't that a wonderful thing? And, you know, as we're closing on this today, I just wanted to ask you this question. With all that you've seen, especially in your spiritual life, your spiritual practice, your spiritual involvements, what do you think your biggest lesson is that you would want somebody who's starting this journey for the first time, perhaps? What's your biggest takeaway, your biggest lesson that you would share that you think would help them to find their path in a more fruitful and smoother way, if that is possible?
Good luck to us, right?
Yeah, good luck to us.
Well, my greatest accomplishment is that I love myself. That I've maintained that belief for myself that I was sane because I was called otherwise. That you have to trust in what you're feeling. You know, you have to learn about yourself and be true to yourself. And that's my greatest accomplishment, that I believe in myself and that I still love myself. And I've been through so much, good and not so good. But the not so good has been the fire to, you know, it helped me to keep walking this walk, because there are a lot of people, as you just kind of put it, there's a lot of people that are waiting for these answers. And a lot of it is that it really is that simple. Is you just have to trust yourself, believe in yourself, and practice. This is the year of me and my friends all around the world. Now this year, we're all practicing. And we'll do it together. You know, you don't have to do
find
it
your tribe, find people who are like you, find your soul family, so mm-hmm. that you're able to not feel like you're crazy, but you're mm-hmm. actually, you know, in the company of people who can, you know, feed your mind, feed your soul, mm-hmm. feed mm-hmm. your spirit. I agree with you. I think that is really, really important. I think that's really
because
really
it's important. Not what I've done. It really, it's how I felt about what I've done. And I'm very conscious that every single thing that I have done always makes me feel, I'm so proud of you, Sandra. I'm so proud of myself, because yeah. I could have been wrong. You know, I could have failed. I could have got hurt with the cases that I've worked on, but I've lost a lot of people, you know, that tried to do this, that said this is, you know, messing with negative energy or evil and all that. But I say that, but when it's about love, it has nothing to do with that. So, so my greatest accomplishment is that I feel sane. Yet I admit I'm crazy, and that I care. I care about people.
Yes. And you will notice that you will lose friends. I mean, once we do this, you will lose friends. It will be a place where the phone stops ringing with certain voices at the end of it. Mm-hmm. You could be judged, called all sorts of names. And this is part of the path. You know, it's funny. I'm very out when it comes mm-hmm. to the work that I do. I'm not, mm-hmm. I don't pretend it isn't part of me, mm-hmm. Because I'm not really ashamed of anything that I do. That's not to say that there are certain people who cannot be out, maybe because of where they work or mm-hmm. the type of environments that they're in, and it's not safe for them to do so. Mm-hmm. That I respect, and mm-hmm. and I think that that's smart and intelligent. But you know, I'm of an age now where I don't care what anybody thinks about me.
But that's what happens when you get older. Yeah, I mean, it really kind of I've seen it my whole life. And I often wondered, you know, like even the two, thank you for saying that, even the two guys that Debbie and I studied, the two physicists, they did not admit when we followed them that they had been abducted. And because they just couldn't, because of like what you just said. But I have never, ever not told this truth. You know, it's important to be like this. It really is. It's needed. And because I see what it does to other people that I meet. And I'm just going to keep doing it. There's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of. If anything, try not to think like that. Just if you really, really care, just do whatever you feel guided to do. It will always work out. And if anything, be proud of yourself that you've made that cause, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I like to feel good about, I don't want to regret anything. Mm-hmm.
Sandra, I really want to thank you for giving up your time to share with us your story and all the fascinating things you've discussed today.
Thank you,
I have to say, I really appreciate you. And you know, a big thank you. Thank you much.
Equal, because it's this cause, and that's what I told you. I didn't expect anything from you. I just really resonated with that message, and I just hope that someone gets something from it that can help them.
Yes.
And we love them and we support them no matter what. It's just, we have to keep this holding hands across the air, you know,
yes,
sacred, because we need each other to stay strong, you know. So I appreciate you.
Oh, wonderful. And to you, the listener, thank you for joining us on this wonderful podcast. And I look forward to another amazing conversation and another evening of delightful spiritual delicacies. And thank you for staying, and I shall see you on the next podcast. Take care.
Thank you.
Welcome to my final spiritual thoughts. So, you know, one of the takeaways I have from listening and talking and chatting with Sandra was how everyday things seemed to be, but they were very magical for her. even though they may not have been obvious. And, you know, this is kind of the reasons I have behind doing this podcast, is to kind of get you guys, you know, who are going through similar things right now in the early stages, even the mid to late stages of your awakening or your experiences, is that things will be happening to you, around you, above you, below you, behind you. And although they may, you know, create what, you know, a lot of people define as problems, I call them challenges or an opportunity to grow. They still are quite profound in their presentation, that when you reflect and look back, as she spoke about thinking her life was going to come to an end at the age of 25, and she reached 25, and, you know, she had a birthday party, and then she had the accident. And I think, as I explained in the comments when we were speaking to her, was that there was a death. There was a death of her old self and emerging into her new self, in which she started to see numbers and figures everywhere. So I think this is an opportunity to reflect and look back on some of the things that seem to be out of the ordinary or seem pretty strange, and see whether there is a message in there for you, something that you could look at and perhaps map to where the trajectory of your life is going right now. I hope you enjoyed this conversation I had with Sandra. And, you know, I would love you to make your comments, rate the podcast if you're in Apple Podcast. And I also would like you to let me know if there are certain topics and subjects that you yourself would like me to cover. I would enjoy doing that. So until our next show, let's keep healing humanity one conversation at a time.